when we were doing pre-service prayer, Ben, just don't keep this too loud, remember, because, okay. when we were doing pre-service prayer, one of the things that that Nathan was praying that keeps reverberating in my mind is that we would have fun today, like that Jesus would just infuse us with fun, and which is really cool because I just think that fun, like freedom and fun, really goes together. And we're going to start by doing something a little fun. I want you to stand up, and I want you to pick up whatever you have, whether it's your purse or your Bible or your phone, and accept, all of it. So when everybody stands up, and accept where there's the blue marks, or if you're in security, or if you definitely don't want to be next to somebody because of the virus, I want you to come forward. So come on, Kit, Simon, everybody come forward. You guys are fine. Yeah, y'all are fine. Sorry. Y'all don't have to come forward. Just come forward. And again, if you feel like you can sit next to somebody, I totally understand that. And or if you're doing something on the Mountain Song team. But I'm going to do something a little different. I am not really a preacher. I like to teach. And so when I haven't taught in a long time. So I hope, I was telling Manuel this morning, I just wish my notes were better organized. But we'll see how we do. But my plan is to kind of like, unless you were homeschooled, you kind of make you feel like you're back in school again, unless you were homeschooled, because this is not going to feel the same. So, so I might be calling on you. So, so actually my message today, or the teaching, is a sort of a continuation. I taught before we went to Costa Rica months ago. And I don't know who was here for that. Was anyone here for that? Or do you even remember if you were here for that? Okay. So, in reality, probably this teaching should have been first, but it's not the way it happened. And so, and actually it's kind of funny because I kind of do that. Like if I'm reading, not a fiction book, but a teaching book, I tend to go to the end of the book to see, because I bought that book for a reason, because something talked to me about that book. I want to see what's at the end of it, and they usually take too long to get there. So I want to see the end and find out how to get whatever it is I want, because and then I come back. So that's kind of what I do in my teaching a lot of times, kind of start at the end, and then I take you there so that you know where you're going. So, I just want to recap a little bit of the last teaching. You can't swallow me like that. Okay, I'm not going to look at him because he distracts me. It's my husband I'm talking about. So, the last message I talked about, I called it, does anybody remember what the name of it was? Nope. Come on, Jeff Wagner, you remember, because you came to me and asked me. It was called Stay Out of Where? Nope. Stay Out of the Middle of the Garden. Good hope. Stay Out of the Middle of the Garden. Why did you need to stay out of the middle of the garden? What was in there that you needed to stay away? Well, what we talked about is that how God created us with this gift of choice. And he started with Adam and Eve. And it's this amazing thing to have this free gift that we get to choose. And Adam and Eve had this freedom. And I talked a little bit about what were they doing hanging out right there in the middle of the garden, the one place in the entire world that they weren't supposed to be or touch. And remember we talked in Genesis about how God said that they could have like the trees all over the world, they could eat any of them and enjoy them, and they were beautiful. Or just this one tree. Just this one tree that's in the middle of the garden. Just don't eat that. That they had a choice, And so we're given that same choice. And we talked, and so in that message, in that teaching, I talked about some very practical tips to stay free, to stay so that you continue to have choices. So if you've been tied up in something and you're now free, I really talked a lot about how to stay free because now you're free. Or if you're just starting this walk with God and you don't want to get tied up into something, just some practical tips about how to stay free. And that's what I talked about last time. And I ended the talk with you guys asking Jesus a question. And I'm sure none of y'all remember that, so I'm gonna tell you what that was. It was, because some people get this idea that our choices only affect us, right? We think that sometimes, that I'm not hurting anybody else. It's just me. And so we started with, ended with asking the Holy Spirit, who do my choices affect? How do you say that? So at the end, we did that. We just took a minute and we asked the Lord that, and then it was like a little activation. So actually, I'm going to start that today. We're going to start by, I just want you to just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just come, Holy Spirit. We recognize your presence here, and we know that we can hear you. We know you want us to hear you, and we know that we all have this amazing ability to see, to sense, to feel, just to hear your voice. And so right now, just in your minds, I just want you, or even quietly, you can kind of like speak it out loud, but kind of whisper it. Just say, Jesus, who else do my choices affect besides myself? And I would just say, even if you've got your phone, like put that person's name on it, or if you just think about it, like keep that person in your mind, because you affect somebody. I don't care if you live alone in the Bob Marshall wilderness. Your choice to live there has affected somebody. You affect somebody. Your choices do affect somebody, and usually more than one person. So today I'm going to talk about, prisoned Christians. Prison, Christians in prison. Like when I say that, what do you think about? Yeah, religion. I want to build an image for you, because sometimes when we think about like prison Christians, we think about, you know, them in some world and being in an actual prison, right? You know, like, oh, we're going to pray for the Christians who are in prison because we were commanded to do that. So we're going to talk a little bit about, what does it look like to be in a real prison, first of all? Let's just get a little image of that. So what is prison like? Like a real prison, like a real, you know, reality. What's it feel like? What is that like? Anybody? Like just a quick words. Like what are some things that you would feel in prison?
Isolated.
Yep. Yep. What?
Restricted,
isolated, confinement. What else? Afraid. Uh-huh. What else?
Scheduled,
yes. And you'll have to kind of speak up because I don't hear too well. all of those things. How many choices do you have in prison? Not too many. Huh? Yep, that's about it, right? That's not a lot there. You're locked away from whom? Family, your loved ones, your education. Opportunities. There's feelings of loneliness. What about boredom? Is it exciting in prison? No, it's not. Hopelessness, maybe? Lack of motivation? Lack of dreaming? What does all this probably finally end up? Like it could end up being very depressing. Like you could end up being very depressed or just in despair. So you're alive, but are you really living? Yeah, you might be alive, but you're not really living, right? Not, at least not to your full potential. And so let's go a little bit further. What are the different types of prisons? I mean, I don't know a lot about prisons, but I do know a few things. What are some different types of prisons? Yeah, minimum security or maximum security. There's like the overnight jail cell, I guess, you know, that some people get put in. There's the federal penitentiary. There's, I was in a really dirty, ugly prison in the Dominican Republic. I wasn't in it. we were doing ministry. I wasn't locked away. But we were doing ministry there on an outreach, and it was like, it was so depressing. It was disgusting. Like, and then one time I visited somebody in a prison in the United States years ago, and it was pretty bad too, but it wasn't like that one. I mean, there's a lot of different levels of prisons, and so how is it chosen which prison somebody goes to?
Their choice.
They choose what prison they go to? No.
Their choice.
Is a coin toss? What is it? Like, pardon? By their offense. By what they've done, right? I mean, if they've murdered somebody, they might be in the maximum security, right? So, so it's what they're accused of or convicted of that's... It's the consequences. So they're being punished, right? Like it's a punishment. And so with that view, with that picture in your mind, and I just want you to think about that. Has anybody been in a prison? Like not locked in? Or maybe you were locked in. But who's been in, like actually gone in? So there's a few people that know what it's like. Has anybody been in prison? Locked? You don't have to answer that. So now we're going to switch over a little bit and talk about the Christians that are in prison, not literally. So you know what we do? We Christians or humans, we do the same thing. We categorize like certain things that we categorize with our sets of values and our culture and our society, we will categorize like punishments, like certain prisons. Like, for instance, let me just give some examples. Like, this is like if we're tied up with something, like we're in a prison in our mind, like, you know, we can't get free of something. There's something that we're just wanting to lay down and not have in our life. We're addicted to something. We have some kind of mind. We Christians have the big things. We whether it's Christians or society. And again, this is cultural. So some societies will put, they'll call one thing bigger than another thing. But let's talk about this circle that I've been exposed to. These are the big things: drug addiction, alcohol, pornography, gambling, sexual perversion, whatever that means, whether it's pornography or rape or homosexuality. These are your big things that people, you know, get caught up in, and they're like, you know, they're like the hard things, you know, or at least we think they are. There's some bigger things than that. There's witchcraft. There's satanic cults, there's Satanism, there's fortune telling, seances, being members of covens, and I mean, those are like, whoa, those are really big things. I don't know if we can, you know, that's scary. And then there's the not so big things, like maybe there's certain mindsets, like the mental health field will call it sometimes like toxic thinking, and it's like maybe constant fear or worry or anxiety, lying or being in deception or manipulation, panic attacks, sense of impending doom. Like these are things that, you know, that maybe we think is not such a, you know, it's not such a big thing. Like I, you know, we can live with that. You know, we can't live with witchcraft, but we can live with that. You know, we can live with hopelessness, but we definitely can't live with somebody being an alcoholic. Or at least in my presence, right? Like do you understand what I'm saying? This is like what we do. We categorize them and we say these are big and these are smaller. There's some other ones that are not so big. It's the never enough. Like I'm never enough. I need to be perfect. The perfectionism, self-hatred and low self-esteem. That's not so bad, we think. We punish ourselves. We deny ourselves. When we have this self-hatred, and there's the cutting, there's the excessive things that we'll do to punish ourselves. There's anger, there's rage, there's jealousy, there's depression. Like, we're like, oh, well, you know, like, we, it's not so bad. I mean, some people are depressed, and some, we just, you know, we, that would be in that category, I think. So what we do as a society is that we will categorize these strongholds or these prisons, and we'll say that one is, it's hard, or it's harder, or it's impossible. But I want to know what God has to say about that. Does He categorize these things? Does He think that it's harder to get out of, to free us from witchcraft as opposed to freeing us from worry, constant fear? Is it harder for Him? It's harder for us in our minds. We think it's hard, but what does the Bible say that there are some things that are too hard?
No.
What does it say about? Nothing. Yes, there's nothing too hard for God, right? Does it say that there are some things that are impossible with God? No. What does it say? It says, yeah, all things are possible with God, or nothing's impossible with Him. So I think that I know that nothing is impossible with Him. And He doesn't categorize these prison cells, and say that one is more difficult for Him to free us from than another one. We do that because we know the normal prison, you know, society, and we know, you know, what happens there. So how do we get out of prison? How do people get out of it? Like, in reality, how do they get out? What are some ways that they get out of prison? I narrowed it down to two. So they can just walk out. Like, just, they get free. Somebody's paid their bail. The door was accidentally left open and they walked out. they escaped. Or they were acquitted. They got out. Then there is the way that I've categorized it is a slower release. Like, they are gonna get out, but they're slowly getting out. And what does that look like in the real world? What do they typically do with prisoners? They, rehab. Yes, rehab. Right? They're trying to retrain them. You know, and so those are the two ways. Or the other way is that they actually serve their designated time, right? Okay, I have to stop right here because that's where the comparison stops. Because I have met and seen and probably even thought this myself, that that God might want me to serve my designated time in prison. Like, I did something wrong, right? I made this choice, so I deserve this. Has anyone ever thought that way, or maybe know somebody who's thought that way? So the comparison stops there. That's one thing I feel like I need to point out before we go any further, that Jesus he's already died. He's died for everything that you've done, that the choices you've made, so that you can be free, so that we can be free now. We're unpunishable.
Come on.
Right? I mean, by Him, the society, as society and parents and government, we do punish people, but do you believe that, really, that you're unpunishable by your Father in heaven, that He doesn't punish you? It's hard for me to think that way, because as a parent, I punish the kids sometimes, only once or twice. Right, Nicholas? But, you know, like, I don't know. Is that right? I don't know. We won't get into that. But I know that God doesn't punish us. So He is not reduced to our human ways. Like, we try to think that He thinks like we do, but He doesn't. And so that's a lie, that we need to serve our time. And we just need to, we deserve this. And we need, you know, because we opened this door or whatever. You know, we made, we, and now we're caught in this. And, well, I guess, you know, I'm getting what I deserved and this will be my life, you know. But that's not, that's a lie. That is a lie that needs to be broken off. And I really hope that that's broken off today if anybody is thinking that. Jesus wants us free and he tells us that. So then how does Jesus free us from prison? So we talked about society, you know, you can get out, you can escape, or there's the rehab. But how does Jesus free us from this prison of constant fear or depression or some kind of addiction that's just messing with you or your family? Or maybe you don't think it affects, it's just you, it only affects you, but really it's affecting somebody else. And I know it does, because I'm sure Jesus told you that your choices today affect somebody else. So all of them do. So there's two ways that I think that he can free us. And at least, I'm almost 60, and I've been walking with the Lord since I was about 19. And I have seen him do some amazing things. And seen, like, I love this message of freedom. Like, I love this. I believe in this. I know that, like, how can we have fun if we're not free? You just can't have fun in prison. It just gets boring. I don't care. You've read the same book over and over again. And you know, you don't feel healthy because you're eating the same food. And I don't know, you can exercise, but I'm pretty sure they have the same weights, you know, so it's like you can only exercise one muscle source. So, you know, it's just, it's dull. It keeps you separated from your loved ones. You may not realize that, but it does. Prison is just, it's not fun. And so if you want to have fun, and you want to have fun with other people, and you want to have fun with God, then we need to be free. We need to be free from the prison of our mind and our emotions and, you know, the things that I listed and things that I didn't list that maybe right now you're thinking, man, I wish I didn't have this in my life, or I wish the person that's close to me or this didn't have that. Like, I wish it could be different. And it can. So he does it two different ways. He does it quick, like a miracle. And I've seen that. Like, I've seen the Lord, like, just completely change somebody from one way to the next in a moment. And then I'm going to come back to that. And then he does it a slower way, like the rehab, like walking you out of something and unraveling things and pulling up roots and exposing lies or things that you've been believing that aren't true. And which one would you prefer?
Instant.
Instant, right? But here's the thing. Even if it's instant, you still got to walk that same journey because of what got you there. Otherwise, you'll either fall back into that, which you might not, but it might be something else, because because nobody typically gets thrown into prison for something they didn't do, you know, or some behavior that they, I mean, it happens obviously, but we're not talking about people who are in prison, you know, that aren't supposed to be. We're talking about the ones who've actually done something. Like, you don't typically end up there without having done something. So whether you get out miraculously, instantaneously, or it's a slower journey of getting out, the end result is you still get out. And if you get out instantaneously, you need to go back and walk through the same steps that the person walked through that has gotten out in less time, that wasn't instantaneous. And that could be that took them a week, or it could be it took them years. But it's an unraveling of what got them there. So, So I want to encourage you to trust Holy Spirit that he knows what you need. So even though you want someone else to be free, instantaneous, we need to trust that Holy Spirit knows our makeup and how we're wired and how we are going to best handle our freedom and what's the best way to get this out of our life and to be free and to walk in freedom. Like so if he does it instantaneously, and I'll just real quick give you some examples. Like my dad. My dad was, he drank and other things. I think he was smoking weed and lots of things. And one day to the next, he poured it down and he never ever drank again. Like he was an alcoholic. But from one day to the next, it was over. It was over. What got him there was not over in one day to the next, but that was over. My mom, like, she wanted to quit smoking. She quit smoking from one day to the next. Manuel's first cousin, Mario, he had an encounter with an angel. And he was a drunk. Like, Manuel had to get him out of the ditch sometimes. And from one moment to the next, he was free. I know many people. And as many people as I know that got free that way, I honestly know as many people that got free the journey way of walking through it, of walking through the freedom little by little. So I want to now just talk a little bit about some of the reasons that might have brought you or someone else you know into that prison. And we get back to the choices. So one thing could have been that you just made a really not smart choice. You just was unwise and you chose to do something that, like, I'm just going to experiment with this. I'm just going to give it, you know, I'm going to try this, or I'm going to choose to go out, and I'm just going to give one example, okay? It doesn't mean that this is, but maybe you choose, like, I'm going to choose to go and party every single night with drugs and alcohol, and before you know it, because I don't think anybody has that issue, so I'm going to use that. Before you know it, you find that you're addicted to that, and you actually now can't stop, or you made a choice that I'm just going to look at this pornography on the internet. It's just one time. And then before you know it, it's a second time and a third time. And then you're caught up in it and you literally feel like you can't get out. And that could be for anything, like anything. It can be for any of those things that I listed. And that's where at the beginning of the last time I spoke, I gave some really practical examples of not making, like, trying to make good choices. And I just got really practical about that. If you've been in something and have gotten free, or if you want to stay free. So if you want to know what that is, you can go listen to the podcast. But the other way is an unintentional choice. So maybe you've reacted to something unintentionally, like the way you were brought up. And so you're reacting to the way, how your parents modeled behavior, and you kind of pick that up, or the circumstances, or maybe there was an environmental influence, like a spiritual influence over you that you grew up in, and so now you just react in anger and rage, and you don't even know why. You don't mean to, but at the drop of the hat, you're so mad about something, and you don't even know where is that coming from. Or you might have been a victim of somebody else's bad choices. And so it goes so far back that even you don't even remember, because maybe you were a victim of bad choices that other people made, and you couldn't do anything about it. Maybe you were young and you know, somebody abused you, or maybe it was something else and you just were a victim of that. So that could have been some kind of sexual abuse or physical abuse, whether it was in that way, it was probably intentional, or maybe it was an unintentional choice that someone in authority made over you by sending you to a certain camp or something, and or certain teachers that just mocked you and before you know it, you were reacting with this, now I have to be perfect, or this self-hatred or something. I mean, there's been things as bad as the SRA, which is the satanic ritual abuse victims that, you know, I come across. Of course, the child trafficking and the things like that. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit has a specific plan and a strategy for your way out of prison or anyone that you know that is locked in prison. And he has a way out, and he wants us to be free. And if you don't want it bad enough for yourself, then again, we go back to, what about the person who's next to you? Like, is it important? Are they important to you? Because I've heard people say, like, well, the person just really needs to want to be free of that, whatever it is. But sometimes for other people, it actually takes the other person that's close to them that motivates the person to go and get freedom. So it works both ways. So there's a verse that the Lord has spoken, like he showed me, and it's the one in John 13, 1 through 17. And this has been kind of recent. And it's the verses about where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And hang on. And I've heard that taught a bunch of times, and I've even participated in a real foot washing. But I don't, honestly, I know he did that day, but I think there's something deeper in that for us. And I feel like that when Jesus said to them to Peter, to all of them, actually, he said, I'm going to wash your feet, and then I want you to wash each other's feet. And I know a lot about dirty feet because I was raised in South Louisiana and we never wore shoes. I had a pair of shoes to go to school, and I had a pair of shoes if we went to the grocery store. We didn't wear shoes to the grocery store, but I had shoes to go to school. And then in Costa Rica, my kids never wore shoes. They were barefooted all the time. They had one pair of shoes, just like those feet are right now. So I know all about dirty feet. And as much as I love barefoot and being barefoot, I hate dirty feet though. And you can ask Nicholas, like, what is at the entrance of every door in our house?
A wet towel.
A wet towel. And what do we have to do, Simon, to keep it wet? Do we do that, Sabrina? Yep. I'm like extreme over that. Like, I love for their feet to be barefooted, but the black soil, the bottom of their feet are so black, and then it gets in the house and it's, I don't want it in the sheets. And so everybody has to clean their feet. And sometimes your feet have to be cleaned. Like, sometimes it comes off. Sometimes you got to get them under the toenails because there's like under there, and it has to be scrubbed with a scrub brush. So I kept a scrub brush in the bathtub for them. Sometimes there's a splinter in their foot, and you've got to dig all the dirt out just to get to the splinter. And yeah, so I know about that. So when I saw this verse that the day that the Lord was showing me this about with this message is that he said to, like, I'm going to wash your feet, and I want you to wash each other's feet. And so what I know about that to be true is that Jesus needs to be the one sometimes who just washes us, our minds, and gives us a fresh perspective on things. And we need that every day, because we're walking every day, and we're walking, and he knew that. Back then they were walking with the sandals, and so their feet were dirty, and so we're walking in a world where we're getting dirty. Like, we're getting stuff from the internet, we're getting dirt from another person at work, and this is, you know, metaphoric, like in our minds. And so we definitely need to wash our feet every day. And then we have things that, like, we have that stuff underneath the toenails that have been there for a while, and, you know, it needs to come out, and we need to have, like, other people. We need to do this with other people. We need to help each other get truth and get the lies that are underneath the toenails out. Like, I really believe that when he was saying that, he wasn't actually talking about, like, well, once a month or once every 6 months at church, you should get a little pan and wash each other's feet and pray over each other. we do that. If you've known anybody, if you've been involved in that, we'll take truths and we'll just apply them and go like, well, they did it. Probably that's what we're supposed to do. But I really believe that I'm sure there's other things, truths that can come out of that verse too. But I believe that we're supposed to wash each other's feet. And so how that applies here is that we need other people in our lives to get out of prison, the prisons of our emotions and our minds. We need people like godly counselors or therapists or mentors or coaches. And I mean, when I say godly, I mean godly. People who are mature in the Lord, who can use the Holy Spirit to help you wash your feet. Because if it's not, then at best, you've got behavior modification. So you're just behaving, but you're not being really free. So unless it's the Lord, like, I don't think that only God can really free us from prison. So if we go to somebody, and I love Dr. Caroline Leaf and all about the neural pathways. And man, I love learning about that and how our brain changes and the cells actually become new and just all the new stuff about that. But even like with all that new stuff, the reason I love it is because I'm just amazed at how God made us. And we're so fearfully and wonderfully made that when we do the things I'm getting ready to talk about, things change in our brains. And so there is a physical thing that changes in our brains and therefore in our bodies. And it does come from renewing your mind and being free. But if it doesn't start with the Holy Spirit, we've missed that part, so now we're just behavior modificationing ourselves, and so we tend to maybe then latch on to something else, unfortunately, if we don't get to that root. So, yeah, so who are the people that are going to wash our feet? They're going to be the counselors, the therapists, they're going to be your friends, mature believers, they're going to be sometimes your family members. Sometimes not, because sometimes they're just too close to the situation. There can be healing ministries, inner healing ministries. There's tons of them, but I know about one, and it's called Sozo. And Sozo means, it's just a weird Greek word that's in the Bible, and if you were to look it up in the Bible, in the New Testament, and it's translated to saved, healed, and delivered. So it's not an acronym for something, it's just that. And so we here at Mountain Song have actually... It's really hard to change this, but because I've been saying it so long, but we call it encounter ministry because we help you to encounter the voice of God in your life, to go to Him with some questions, and we sometimes help you form the questions because sometimes if you're not asking the right question, you're not going to get the right answer that you need. Not that there's right and wrong, but there might be something that's more right for you as opposed to almost right. And you don't want almost right. You want what's right. So I love this ministry, and it's not the only thing. That's what I want to, and it's not counseling. It's not like counseling. Like counseling has its place. You process, right, with somebody or a good friend, and sometimes just with processing, you unravel some roots or some things that you didn't realize. Whoa, you're looking in a window one way into a room from the outside of your house, and that person that's a good friend takes you around and shows you there's another window, and you get a whole different view of what the room looks like. I love that. Like, I love when, and it's like, whoa, I didn't see that. I get that now. And so we need that. Like, we really, we need that. We have to have that in our life. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Sozo right now. So what we do in Sozo or Encounter Ministry is we help you to ask Jesus some questions. And we help you to learn how you hear God, like how you hear or sense or feel God. And some people are just really good at that. Like they already do that, but it's still helpful because sometimes God just reveals something brand new to them. Or He shows them like for instance, maybe you just see pictures. Like, that's how God speaks to me. I see pictures. I see these images. And now He's, through this, sometimes people learn to hear His voice. or to sense something in their body. And so it's just learning to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of, yeah, so that's the main, I would say that's the main thing we do, is to help you be in tune with the Holy Spirit. But that's so important, because being in tune with Him is what will give us the truth and whatever it is that we need, the truth to get away the lie or the freedom or put His finger on something in our life that we don't realize. We need a relationship with Him. We have to have a relationship with Jesus, not with our beliefs, like our belief systems. We need to get those out. Or with church, we need a relationship with Jesus. And so I love that about this ministry. It helps you to get beyond your thoughts. And for somebody like me, who can just analyze the devil out of things, I can just take and I can analyze stuff and I can think through it and I can see it from this way, and I just can just look at, make lists and look at all, in my mind, I can just do all that, and that can sometimes, in my case, that can sometimes get in the way of me being able to hear the Lord. So during a session like that, we'll even ask the Holy Spirit to help take our thoughts and set those aside for a moment. And He does. That's what's so awesome. Every single time He does. There was a 75-year-old lady who came to an encounter session years ago, and 70-something. It was Colleen had brought her. Do you remember her? Colleen said she has never heard God's voice, and she's been a Christian, and she wants to hear the voice of God. So we started with asking questions, and it was kind of dry and nothing was happening, and we take a deep breath and we ask the Lord which direct. But right, Colleen, by the end of that session, this lady was telling us things that the Lord was saying to her. And it was awesome. I love that. I love being there when people are getting truth. Because what's cool is a lot of times we're hearing the same thing they're hearing. So when I hear them say something that I heard, I love it. And we don't tell them what we've heard. That's the, we don't tell them, here's what God's saying to you. So, that's good. Some people need that, but we don't do that here in those sessions. We let them hear God. And then, and then it's so cool because it's yes, I was hearing the same thing. I love that. It's not something mental. It's something beyond that. It's something deeper. I'm almost done. We have different tools that we use in the encounter ministry, and that has been people got those tools from the Lord. I know they came from the Lord, and so we've incorporated them into this ministry, and they are they're just really effective. I found that they've been. That there are very effective things, and just want to share a couple things with you, just so you can have an idea of what a session is like. One of the things that we will do is we'll ask, we kind of go after lies a lot. That's a big thing, and so many times those lies will be tied to unforgiveness that we don't even realize. I forgave. My brother, when I was 15, and you have, but then God will take you to a wound that you didn't realize, because who is the father of lies? Who? Satan. Who called him that? Who said he was the father of lies? Who? God. Jesus. Jesus called him the father of lies. So if Jesus said he was the father of lies, he's probably the father of lies. That's what he named him. And so he is the one who plants lies. So where does he plant them? He plants them in places or woundings a lot of times. I mean, there's other places, but that's a big place, like an unforgiveness, like a wound there. And he comes in, he's like, this is just like a fly, you know, something dead, like, just goes in and plants something, a nasty old maggot egg. And then before you know it, it grows up, you know, and it's just disgusting. And we just live with those and function and don't live up to our full potential. And we're not fully alive. We're in this prison of, like, fear, constant fear, or panic attacks, or depression. And we've lived this way for so long. It's like, okay, it's familiar, but it's not fun. It really isn't. So we'll go after that. And we'll find out a lot of times where it came from. And sometimes we don't need to know where it came from. It's not, we just let the Holy Spirit decide. If we need to know, he'll show us. If we don't need to know, we don't need to know. We trust him. Here's the cool thing. I've never, ever, I've been doing this for the sessions for 8 years now, and I have never been in a session where somebody could not hear, see, sense, or feel the Holy Spirit in some one form or another by the end of the session. Never. Even if it's just one thing they heard that day. He's always shows up. He always shows up. I'll give you one more tool that we use, and then I'll end it. So, have you ever said to yourself, like, there's a part of me that really wants to do this, but then there's this part of me that just wants to do this? Have you ever said that or thought that? Have you ever seen somebody and you're friends with them or they're part of your family and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Like, I don't know, like, what was that reaction? You know, what just happened here? What happened to my friend Sarah? Like, where'd she go? Like, you know, oh, there she is. Okay, she's back. Like, just kind of switch, like, into this anger thing or to this or something. Like, just switch. Like, so some people, and in some cases, that could be spiritual. You know, it could be a weird, you know, demonic kind of thing. But in this case, I'm going to talk about, it's not that. It's how God made us. It's how he made us, like this whole person. And there are like these different parts of us that are pretty cool in our makeup. And sometimes we can kind of switch into that, like, oh, there's a part of me that wants to do this. But then there's that part. Like, there's not anything really wrong with that, unless there is something wrong with that. Because sometimes there's not anything wrong with that, unless there is something wrong with that. And there is something wrong with that when that becomes who your identity is, and it's not who God wants you to be. Let's just say it's sadness. I'm just going to choose one, just sadness. Like, there's just this part of me that's just always sad. Like, I just, you know, no matter what I do, it's just this part that's sad. Like, I can function, and I can get away from it, but I know it's there. There's a part of me here that's sad. And what we can do in that is we go to the Lord, and we invite the part into the presence of God, and these parts show up. It's weird. It sounds weird, but it happens. It's like we will, and sometimes we invite a part that if there's a part of me that's carrying pain or sadness, this part will show up. It's not like the person gets weird or anything. It's just that person will begin to see, like, or feel this part. And then we let that part, we kind of interact with that part of that person and talk to them about if they want to go and be with Jesus. Because the real you is being controlled by this part, that you don't want that anymore. And sometimes actually that part was actually even provided for you by the Lord, because this is how he made us. As a child, we've seen this as a protective part, because a child was in a very unsafe environment and their minds and their emotions would just probably go all over the place, but they were actually able to have this part come up and protect them, which is pretty cool. And that's okay. Like, God wants that. Like, it's a protective part. But then there comes a time when maybe that part is no longer needed. And the Lord can take that, and then that person can actually start to function in their authenticity without that protective part that rises up in anger or in this protective mode or whatever it is. Does that make sense? It probably doesn't make sense. But it's really cool. Like, I've been in sessions with people who weren't even Christians. Like, I was with Leslie one time with this person who had had a divorce, and she just couldn't get over some stuff. And so she heard about us. She drove from Missoula. She didn't know the Lord. And Leslie just took her into this place, and she started to see this little girl walking on the beach as a child. Like, I was amazed. Like, this is not just Christian stuff. This is like how God made us. And it's awesome. We are so fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's why, like, I love, like I said, Dr. Caroline Leaf with the, you know, her books that she has out on, you know, switch on your brain and think, learn, succeed, and many other things that are out there, because they're just showing us how our brains and our emotions and how everything is so interconnected. And yet the Holy Spirit has so much power over all of that if we'll go there, because we can ignore it and we can just function, and we can actually stay in prison if we want to. So I'm going to end, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We welcome your presence. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Help us to be aware of you and your presence here today, right now. And I want you to ask the Lord a question. I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to whisper this question to the Lord. Just say, Jesus, is there something that I need to lay at your feet today and never have to carry again? And if there's nothing, that's okay. That's fine. You just sit quietly. But if there's something that you know is just like right there, just like your hand in front of your face, you just know, like, man, I just want to lay this down and never have to pick this up again. So just say, Jesus, what is your plan for me to be free? And just trust that what he tells you, like what comes into your mind right now, don't analyze it away. Just don't think, oh, that's probably just me. No, I want you to just trust that he is speaking to you, and he wants you to hear him like he does. Like, more than anything, it's about relationship with him. So trust that what you're hearing is from the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to go any further. If we were in a session, we could go for an hour or two. But with that information that you have right now about what the next step is, about what his plan is, is it a counselor? Is it a therapist? Is it a trusted friend who just, you've been dying to talk to them, but it's like, I just can't because I want them to see me differently, or it feels really, you know, I don't want to be that transparent. Or is it the inner healing session that you might need? So whatever that is, or maybe it's for somebody else. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to do this alone, that we don't have to do life by ourselves, that we don't have to do life in a prison, that we don't have to do it in stuck in a mindset, stuck with the constant around that same mountain again and again, that you want us to be free, that that's your desire. I trust that. I believe that. And we declare that. I declare freedom over this. I declare freedom over Mountain Song, that we are going to be this amazing, fun, free, fun because we're free. Not fun because we try to make fun, but fun because we're free. We're free from the stuff that the world has put on us, that the enemy's put on us, that other people have put on us, that we put on ourselves, that we're unpunishable, that we don't have to do time in prison, that we can be free, and we can walk in all the freedom that you have for us. And then just the final word is that even if you're completely free now, which I hope, just know that you have an enemy who wants nothing more than you not to be free. And so even if right now you are free, just continue to walk in that freedom and listen to the other podcasts so that you don't end up in jail, because you can stay free. Like, I think we can stay free. We don't have to walk in being tied up in the same old thought patterns. We don't have to. I think I'm done.